Oh, mate, only just woke up and I've got coffee in hand, and but the toast is still cooking, and I've got a ciggy that I need to smoke as well.
Yeah, I'm taking that same similar break here. It's totally. I don't know if you got my email. I actually did the same thing to a show in the UK on Tuesday. But it was a my.
Really?
It was I misunderstood the time zones, so I
Oh, it
thought.
wasn't a misunderstanding of the time zones for me.
No, I know, but
I
I'm just
knew.
saying. Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I came.
Maybe this is the universe's way of paying you back.
Exactly. So, let me ask you, what do you, I don't know how much longer I could do this today. Only because I have somewhere I need to be. I have to leave this like late afternoon. So we could, if you want, we could do a brief sort of touch in with you, and then just schedule you for a full show in the future.
So you don't have an hour?
I had allocated from 2 to 4. It's now 3:48. I could run a little over, but I don't know that I could do a full hour.
Okay, how about we just I'll say fuck my breakfast and we'll do just as long as we can. What do you reckon?
You're in New Zealand then. That's
Oh, yeah.
I got more family in New Zealand than I do just about anywhere in the world. And I've never been there, but my mom lived there for a number of years, North Island.
You have any family in Hobsonville? It's completely obscure, and there's no way you could have known about that. But yesterday, Hobsonville, which is a suburb just a couple of suburbs over from me, gets hit by a couple of tornadoes and three people get crushed.
Oh God. Is that common in New Zealand for tornadoes?
I've never seen tornadoes happening. And it's only been in the last maybe a year or 3 years that we've started having tornadoes in Auckland.
That's like I'm in New York. I've been here my entire life. We've never had a fucking hurricane. And suddenly this year, this giant hurricane comes, which they've actually been warning us about the last 2, 3 years.
Motherfucker, did you see the pictures of the divers going into the subways?
No, I didn't see that.
Holy shit.
I was on those subways a few days later when they were barely running anything, and you just sit on the train car for like 40 minutes while they're trying to get it through the track.
Wow.
Yeah.
So unprecedented weather patterns, as far as you guys are concerned, in both your areas. So what is that? Is that HARP?
No, I think it might be the chemtrail, the weather modification, man. There's so many particulates in the air. I can send you some pictures, actually. We're looking up at the sky, and this is not a lens flare. This is what we saw. The sun rays were making a rainbow.
Huh.
Okay. There was
Yo.
a circular rainbow around the sun.
Yeah, I've actually seen that.
What the fuck is that, man?
Yeah, there's a guy I know who makes the point like when the guy remember a few years ago there was that meme of like double rainbow, what does it mean? And the guy's like, it means chemtrails, you asshole. It's like
Huh.
But it's actually funny because I have a photo that my wife took when she was a very small child of a double rainbow. And let me see if I can see. There's a date on it. I actually have the picture on my wall because we were talking about it, and the date that we were having the conversation about the double rainbow, this photo my wife took of a double rainbow when she was a child was from the exact same day.
Oh, wow. What does it mean? Oh, my God. What does it mean?
So
what do you think, Vinny? End of the world?
Oh.
Sorry.
I hope so. It means no more taxes.
Yeah, it was from August 16th. And that probably doesn't mean anything at the moment, but for whatever reason, it meant something very important on August 16th, I think 2011 or 2012.
You know how many people are throwing out dates and numbers and stuff like that at me now? Not just 2012. It's like, in fact, as soon as people started making predictions about 2012 and we're coming really close into it, now people are making all these all different predictions that are like 5-6 months down the track, 3 years down the track, 4-5 years, 50 years down the track, whatever. And nobody knows. That's what's funny. Everybody's making predictions, but nobody knows.
Vinny, this is the first lesson of dealing with a bullshit prophecy, particularly in the conspiracy world, of you always have to move the goalpost a little further down the line.
Right.
You know that guy, Harold Camping, who predicted the end of the world? That was the third time he had predicted the end of the world. Oh, I'll get it right this time. And you see, it's the same thing we see over and over again. Someone says, it's the end of the world. Oh, actually, give it 3 more years.
So they found another section to the Mayan calendar. So the one we're talking about that ends on December 21st, 2012, debatably, is the 13 Bakhtun cycle, right? So then they found the 17th Bakhtun cycle not that long ago, which extends it another 1,124 years to the year 3,136 AD. So that's the next end of the world, because I don't know if they found another. I mean, this is the thing. The conquistadors destroy all this stuff, and then we have these little artifacts left over after their destruction, and one of them happens to be that calendar, and now we've found another calendar. And so, you know, I find it interesting when fundamentalist Christians are actually using, they're jumping on the bandwagon of the end of the world prophecy for this, considering it was Christians that destroyed anything that might help us explain what this fucking calendar means.
Look at it this way. The worst thing that could happen is you could die, which you were going to die anyway.
Yeah.
And after you're dead, what difference does it make if you had another 50 years on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, bro, how was life? Well, it really sucked because I died. No, I experienced all of this stuff. It was really, really cool. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed it. Want to go again? Yeah. Okay, sweeties. Chuck him in again.
So, Alan, I want to bring it back really quickly, if I may, to the hurricane. Did you hear about the test that was done in, like, 1993? It was like a drill for a hurricane in your area, or they basically mapped out this path of a non-existent hurricane, which they called Hurricane Sandy. Have you heard about that?
No, that's pretty interesting.
It was like in the early 90s, they actually did there was a drill that was done to anticipate a possible hurricane. The exact path of that theoretical hurricane was actually exactly the path of Hurricane Sandy. And it had the same name.
Did you see the satellite imagery of the chemtrailing down in the Florida area to fuel the storm and push it north?
I have not seen that. Can you send me a link if you have one available, or if not, I'll try and look it up on my own.
Yeah, just try and look up chemtrails Hurricane Sandy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have, you know, really mixed feelings about this whole thing. Like, certainly something like that would kind of push it in a different direction if there was a drill that was done, because you have things, obviously, like the 9/11 drill, the 7/7 bombing drill.
Well, check this. Do you know how many bonds and paperback currencies got flooded and destroyed during that storm? $18 trillion or something.
Wow.
Like, the storm caused $18 trillion in damage.
I think they said, what was it? Oh, okay, I can't remember. I saw their projected damage in New York, and it's definitely in the billions. I think it was $24 billion, actually, which is just outrageous. I don't know how true it is, but wow.
Let me guess. New York's got a lot of private contractors cleaning everything up.
I mean, so it's really interesting because there were areas around New York that got really, really hit hard. And then there were other areas where nothing really happened. Like my neighborhood, I had some down trees, some down power lines, but nothing. I never even lost power for more than a few seconds. You know, my lights were flickering all night, but they never went out. And then there's other places where people were completely devastated, you know, very, very close to me. So I don't know. It's something where obviously the coastline has to do with it and just different geography. But I wouldn't be surprised from some of the stories that I've heard. I wouldn't be surprised at the cost of damage. But yeah, it's always this idea of what's going to then, how do you find a way to profit off it. Here's something that I thought was so funny was there was just a few days before the hurricane, there was a crane collapse, and this crane was like dangling off this skyscraper, and
that's called crane. Hey, you know what that's called in kung fu?
Flying crane.
Crane style. It's called crane style.
You don't want me, you just want my crane style.
Oh my god, I've got to get a picture of that. You know those black bordered pictures? They have a little statement down the bottom and they're really funny. I'll just like get the picture of that crane like flopping over and it's like crane style, New York style. New York crane style kung fu.
Well, it was just really amusing to me is when this crane collapsed, they released this news story which said that the Department of Buildings made sure leading up to the hurricane, in the 2 days before the hurricane, they inspected every construction site in New York to make sure it was prepared for this hurricane. Now, the scale of an operation that would mean you were actually inspecting everything. Oh,
it's extremely expensive.
No, besides expensive, I think just impossible. It's just impossible. There are so many things. There's no way you actually tapped into all this. Sorry, you threw me off there with this video.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to record something real quick then, huh?
Oh, I've been recording.
Oh, okay, then.
That wasn't part of the show?
No. Because normally when we start a show, people say, okay, and we're like, there's some kind of a musical lead, or there's a welcome to the such and such show. I'm here with Vinny Eastwood and what.
Are you going to tell me how to do this, motherfucker? Do I have to come down there?
Casual show. We have a slightly different approach.
It's just I do 5 days a week and I'm on different radio shows every day. Like I'm on this show and I think two others as well as mine today.
So I'm just kind of used to a particular format, sort of threw me off a little. But
oh, you're used,
that's cool, man. That's cool.
You're used to a format.
I can do a cat
format. Please introduce yourself to everyone. So this is, we sort of put this together in post-production. You know, it's like you get told on a movie set, we'll fix it in post. Tell everyone about yourself.
Can you see the real me?
All right, Alan Everdesa Green, he's the fix-it-in-postman like Kevin Costner. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, live 5 days a week. 5 till 7 Central Time, 6 till 8 Eastern, and at the moment it's summertime in New Zealand, so it's midday till 2, Tuesday through Saturday, because we broadcast live from the future every day, so the news is really, really current. And I've got this idea that you had to support activists, and I know a lot of activists, they don't know how to perhaps edit video or edit audio even, or even shoot or capture these things. But they are very used to doing plenty of research and talking to people about this research and attending public meetings and protests and getting on the megaphones and what have you, talking about these things that they know. So I figured, is that not what a reporter is supposed to be? The person who does all the research and knows what they're talking about? So I went out and I started asking these people the important reporter questions, not the business representatives, not the politicians, but these people with the megaphones and the moth-eaten cardigans and the and the cars that are unwarranted and unregistered and chucking out black smoke or have a door panel missing or something like that. These people, holy cow, do they know amazing things? They don't seem to get recognized and they don't seem to be listened to. And I thought to myself, you know what? These people are actually the worthy celebrities of our time. These are the people who actually deserve recognition. These are the people who sweat and bleed and live hand to mouth in order to protect their fellow people, their citizens, from tyranny. And they're in a position where they're in no way, shape, or form is there a more poignant commentator. So these become the sources. And I start going to the public meetings, going to these protests, and going to their homes and interviewing these people and just publishing it all up on YouTube. And I started to gain a rapport to where people on radio shows would notice me. I've been in the mainstream media. I've been in a number of magazines. I've been on maybe 100 to 200 radio shows on other people's broadcasts, and I've interviewed some of the top activists in every field from all over the world. Whether you can be talking about things as small as privatization, or things as widely ranging as Agenda 21 to chemtrails or the Federal Reserve Bank, pretty much the entire spectrum, even going into some of the real weird, strange stuff like time travel with Andrew Bruschago and all these people that come out with these really amazing stories that you hear on Coast to Coast that sort of bend your reality somewhat if it were true. However, I'm not so much interested in finding out and doing the absolute 100% dutiful research. What I instead want to do is simply talk to these people and make up my own mind based upon my previous experiences and whether or not I believe they've got sufficient evidence. It makes no never mind to me, because I'm there to make sure that they have some fun while they talk about whatever they wish to talk about.
That's awesome.
And that's a public platform.
Yeah, that's something that I'll admit I had some difficulty with, and I keep that as my goal for even the Sync books. We just put out the second volume of the Sync book, and we are, you know, I put in there people with differing or opposing positions, and this was important to me, was to make sure that it was a platform where the different points of view could be presented. But every now and then I sort of get a little uncomfortable is doing that balance where you give someone a platform, does it, is it an implied, shall we say, you know, an implied consent or that you, you know, that you're in agreement with the person that you're giving that platform to. And obviously that can't always be the case, that you're giving a platform to people with different points of view. You can't possibly agree with all of them. But I think that's a really interesting challenge. And it's the challenge that comes with true journalism would be to allow these things to just have their moment, let them make their case. Do you try and just let them make their case, or are you trying to challenge what they say? How, what is your approach to doing this?
Well, I believe it's on the points we agree that we should come together and discuss and collaborate on what we can. And the points that we disagree, we can kind of leave those for another time. Maybe a time when maybe perhaps they personally attack me, or the people who are trying to exterminate us in a ruthless criminal sociopathic fashion are defeated. Then we can start disagreeing about things. But at the moment, we agree on the fundamentals. So I just want to sit there, hear you out, and go, yeah, bro. I mean, I might be thinking, this guy's freaking nuts. But I'll just try and steer the conversation in a way where I can find something with them that I agree about on air. And we have some fun. And I guarantee, this is something I do guarantee every single guest, I will make you laugh during the course of this broadcast. And I hope that the fact I put so much effort into editing the audio archives, writing up little blogs, stitching pictures together, uploading the webcam versions of the radio broadcast to YouTube on a daily basis. So I'm producing a minimum 2 hours of content per day, both in an audio-only format and in a video format, as well as any other shows that I'm on. And I'm on other shows so regularly that I routinely spend more hours of a week on other people's broadcasts than I do on my own. And I do 10 hours a week on my own. And every single day, I'm interviewing somebody different. Like just yesterday, for example, you ever hear about the US third party debate with Larry King?
Oh, yeah. From the, there was a documentary called Spin, an excellent excellent documentary where they feature some of the unedited footage of Larry King talking during the commercial breaks. You ever see that?
I'd like to see that.
No. But anyway, the third party.
No, not but anyway.
I was trying to make a point about the kind of people that I have on the show, but.
Please go ahead.
I was talking about Christina Tobin from freeandequal.org, who organized the recent third-party debate that was moderated by Larry King, which was the very first third-party debate that had ever been organized in U.S. history in over 200 years. This is the first one. And I had her on yesterday. And after her, I had Josh Tolley, who is the radio show host who does 5 days a week, in the 2 hours before Alex Jones comes live on GCN. And I was just sitting back, this little 27-year-old from New Zealand, and this is kind of the caliber of people that I get to talk to. And in a way, I live my life vicariously through both the people that I interview and the people who interview me. And I just try to do the right thing, whatever it is. And if I'm going to take action on something, that's when I start to research into it, so I know that I'm not going down some kind of spurious rabbit hole. But if I'm not actually going to further research into anything because of time constraints or whatever, it simply launches itself into the realm of possibility. You know, I heard about that once. Are you sure? Is there any evidence? Like if it comes up in a conversation or whatever, then we'll kind of think about it. But I allow things to stew, especially the crazy things, because the crazy things are quite funny. And it keeps you sane, incidentally, laughing at insanity. What a lot of people do is they think, man, that's so crazy. Why would somebody think like that? Why would somebody do like that? And they mistakenly try to understand the insanity. And you know what you have to do? You know what you have to become in order to fully understand and comprehend insanity?
Willy Wonka.
You've got to go insane.
That's so funny, because that's – so David and I did most of the show before you came on. We were talking about very much that same idea of trying to do this tightrope walk through insanity or over the abyss of insanity, because, of course, nowadays we're getting this swirl of media, forgetting anything spiritual or esoteric about it, just the maelstrom of media that's out there and different perspectives. So you sort of do this tightrope walk through that abyss, trying to understand some of the insanity, trying to make sure it doesn't infect you too much. And then there's the idea that we were also talking about, this idea of getting the perspective of the underworld, of this underworld journey. You, my friend, do you consider New Zealand as part of the land down under, or do we only say that for Australia?
Well, usually we only say it to the land down under. I mean, it's called, allegedly, the name is called Aotearoa, which means in Māori, allegedly, the land of the long white cloud. Supposedly, when they were coming to settle this land, it was the first land that they'd seen after traveling through the Pacific, and they noticed it by being a long white cloud in the distance, hence land of the long white cloud. I call it the land of the long white chemtrail. And, yeah. It's a beautiful place with judges, about maybe 144 high court judges in the country. And I think like about 67 of them are related by first cousin. We've got 8 chief justices, spent $33 million or something like that on their courthouse just to house these 8 judges, so that we can't have the Privy Council anymore. Go over to England for big law cases. No. We want to make sure that everything gets done right here. And 2 of these 8 judges are a husband and wife. There is a family operation going on here in the judiciary, and it's incredibly difficult to get anybody investigated, much less struck off for corruption, especially because it's not required under New Zealand law to record court proceedings. It's a court of record. Where you have to ask the judge, excuse me, can I record this court of record? And he often says, no, because he's doing something illegal. And right, he doesn't want you to have record of it. And it happens all the time. And that's just one sector. Every single sector in this country, for anybody that I've ever talked to who knows what they're talking about on that particular subject, is rotten to the core. Like, have you heard of the, what was it? Transparency International?
Sorry, what is it?
It's a Transparency International.
Transparency International
organization that they release a list every year of the least corrupt countries in the world. And New Zealand and Singapore are usually number one. Singapore is controlled by one guy, and right. his family members head up all the government departments. New Zealand has a look at the record sheet that they have to fill out about how many instances of corruption they found in their country, and they don't fill it out. They just send it back blank. And so naturally, we're the least corrupt country in the world.
Right. Hey, wasn't the these Lord of the Rings movies were filmed there, right? So you literally, they went to the place where you have the one ring to rule them all. They wanted to get a sense of realism in what they were filming?
Yeah, I think they absolutely did. And the natural beauty of New Zealand is vastly undermined. We have a advertising regime that goes around other countries. I believe it's called Pure New Zealand, 100% Pure New Zealand, and they have these pictures and videos of these really pristine parts of the country. Whereas our environmental track record is absolutely shocking. We had an oil tanker run aground off the coast of Tauranga the other day. They didn't even put out booms. They had these recovery barges that could have been flown down on helicopter or on the back of a truck. Inflatable ones that could have been used to take off all the oil, and they didn't even get back to the guy who offered them, and they sprayed Corex at 9500 instantaneously without anybody in the area being notified or anything about this, only to say that, oh, it's not the kind of oil that'll actually be broken up by Corex at 9500. It's like a tar toffee engine oil. And oh my god, this place is totally messed up, bro. We've got cows grazing, huge herds of cows, right in the main rivers, in the main waterways where people get all their drinking water and stuff like that. All right? So the all the waterways are full of crap, quite literally, and so are the people who talk about it. Triclifer, which is the active ingredient in Grazon and Roundup, we're allowed 1,000 times more than is allowed under European drinking water standards in this country. We're spraying it all over the sides of the road to keep the grass back. You know, we've got grass verges and all of that sort of stuff along pretty much every road in the major cities. And they just go on, spray Roundup, and then it rains, and all that Roundup goes down into the sewer water and all of this kind of stuff and into the water table, and it's the whole place is freaking contaminated. The whole country is practically contaminated, and it's only getting worse. They've got this preeminent idea to eradicate possums, for which there was once a fur trade in this country. They want to dump Compound 1080. Have you ever heard of Compound 1080? You'll love it. The Japanese used to use it to poison waterways during the Manchurian campaign. Well, you know, little Chinese villages downstream, that kind of thing. Poison the waterway, kill all those people, and then come in, take their land, and enslave the rest of them as they're all writhing around in complete and total fracking agony for about 3 days while their insides turn outsides. You know, that kind of poison, the worst horrible chemical, toxic, neurotoxin, endocrine disrupting, as in if it's in your water, it'll start disrupting your endocrines, whatever, if it's in parts per trillion. That's how bad the stuff is. And they dump it, wait for it, after it's been sprayed all over little carrots and little baits and things like that, via helicopter into pristine bushland and water catchment areas, and it kills everything. All the deer, all the birds, all the bugs. It's also a food chain poisoner. So if you're poisoned by it and you die, you'll lie down there, and maybe a carrion bird or something like that will come and eat your corpse, and then it'll die, and then a little bug or something like that will come and try and eat that bird, and then it'll die. And then another bird will come along and try and eat that bug, and then it'll die.
Jesus, fuck.
You know, that is New Zealand, bro. And so, we are the only country in the world, where 1080 is used outdoors. It's illegal everywhere else. And we consume 90% of the world's 1080, which is manufactured in a hut in frickin' rural Alabama.
Vinny, we need to start to wrap this up. We, of course, are going to have you back on January 10th for a full show. I'm glad we got to even put this little bit in here, though. Let me ask you, so you live, this is sort of what's happening all around you. I kind of want to close out on the idea, having spoken to you before, you keep a very seemingly positive outlook. You're able to keep a sense of humor about yourself, all this sort of stuff. I guess I want to ask, how do you maintain that in this, with all the bleakness around you, how do you maintain a good sense of humor and a fairly positive outlook on things?
Well, it's actually a lot of effort. A Satanist principle is to turn things in their opposite end, in their opposite direction. So I've decided to employ the opposite of that. Instead of seeing things that are bad, I see things that are funny. So I will be able to make jokes about pretty much anything that comes up in front of me that really ticks me off. And in so doing, I'm not yelling or particularly angry at that thing only. I'm also being really funny about it. And as I laugh, the physical response is to release endorphins into the bloodstream. I become happier. My heart rate increases. My rate of breathing as well. And I become healthier and more relieved as I get the Shiite Muslim scared out of me.
I think it's a very, very poignant note, because this is the same thing that happens with doctors in trauma wards, for instance. They develop an incredible dark comedy. That's what we all got to do, man. If the things around you are sick, you've got to have a sick sense of humor sometimes as well in order to cope with it. Otherwise, it'll overtake you, because it's like, rather than going with something, you're trying to go up against it, and it's like fighting a protracted war that just goes on and on and on. It's exhausting for everybody involved, and eventually you burn out. I don't feel like doing that.
Right. I think it's hugely important, and just to say, as a listener or as someone who appreciates your work, there is something that relates to the person on the other end, because, you know, I've listened to radio shows like an Alex Jones, where they're just screaming at you, "Oh my God, this is going to happen! Don't you understand?" It's, you know, it's just pushing fear. I really don't enjoy that. I've even been a guest on radio shows that I think really push this in a dangerous perspective of only pushing fear, all fear, all the time. It makes me very uncomfortable. And actually, if we had more time, I have my suspicions about that kind of approach. It could be just ignorant on the part of the person's approach, but it could also be something else, some sort of psyop, let's say. But
here's the point: those people are trying to wake people up. I'm of the opinion that you can't wake people up. People wake themselves up. Like, nobody forced you to sit down and watch 160 documentaries, did they? No, you did that on your own. You know, it's giving people the spark, and that's not the field that I'm interested in. I'm interested in the people who have already woken up, for whom this is all too much to take in right now, and they need some form of coping mechanism. And so that's, you know, it's convenient that it's a daily dose of comedy, because you come back at the end of the day and you're tired and you noticed all the chemtrails throughout the day and you're taking orders that don't mean anything reasonable from your boss, and your money's running out and your rent's going up and the power's going up and all of that kind of stuff, and you know for a fact that it's the bankers and the global warming scam and all these other different things, and it's just racing around in your head, and it starts to drive you nuts. And then suddenly you realize, they're just trying to make me insane and sad. Because if I feel insane and sad, if I talk to anybody else about this kind of stuff in a very "I'm afraid and I'm very stressed out" type fashion, they'll either wake up and go, "Oh my God, he's right," or the vast majority of the people will go, "This guy's freaking nuts. I'm happy. I'm cool. I'm having a good time. Why would I want this person interfering? However I approach you, and I'm having a happy, fun, and good time, and I'm also saying that you're fucked."
Well, I appreciate the energetic that you bring to this, and I look forward to our show on January 10th.
I will enjoy it, bro. And I'm so sorry that I didn't remember to get up on this day. And it's really frustrating when that happens sometimes. I can surely understand. I had a guest yesterday who didn't turn up when it was all pre-scheduled and that sort of thing. It was just awful, and I apologize for having put you through that.
Oh, no problem. I think particularly with this a very big time difference between us, I know this was super early for you to do this, so it's totally understandable, and I just look forward to being able to do a full show with you. It'll be really good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. And I think I might have been up late last night. I watched George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Ooh. The cartoon version?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. That was actually put out by that was funded by the CIA, that cartoon. I just found that out.
The Animal Farm cartoon? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Surprising. Something that George Orwell wrote funded by the CIA. Where's the... Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Iron out all of this irony. I think that might be pulling the universe together, irony.
Yeah, you do know that wasn't he funded by the Rockefellers during the writing of 1984?
Yep, that's the thing. So you got Prometheus sacrificing himself for humanity's evolution right there.
Yeah.
Rockefeller Plaza.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. I gotta run. I'm sorry. Everyone have a wonderful day. Vinny, we'll talk to you again in January. I really look forward to it. David, I guess I'll see you next week.
Don't you know, don't it show? I'm the punk with Thank you.